I want to thank you first for letting me present the app. Give you a quick background about the company I started and then how we came up with the app. The app is called Riffr, R-I-F-F-R, and the website is riffr.com, and the app is available both on Android and iPhone, Apple Store. It's not only an app, it's a complete platform, meaning you can access it through the web, you can access it through the app. We also have an API, so if somebody has, let's say, a professional production, they have some content that would like to push, instead of going through the app, they can just push it to the platform. So I started, Riffr started by Mobilesphere. I started Mobilesphere about 10 years ago. And when we started, it was before the smartphones, or kind of the edge of the smartphones. And we are providing services for wireless carriers, and we're doing applications on the SIM. I don't know if you guys know what a SIM is, but it's this thing, the little chip that goes into the phone. And we're doing it, the application was literally on the SIM. It was Java-based, very small footprint applications. And then we migrated into messaging over time. And we have a couple products that we do today, both on messaging. So most of our customers are enterprise, small, medium-sized, large enterprise. We do some work for a charitable organization. They use our technology for fundraising, to reach out to their members, churches, etc. And then 3 years ago, even though we were mostly focusing on the enterprise, we start looking at the social media space, for lack of a better word, and notice that one side of it is very heavily on imagery, whether it's video or photography, and it kind of pushed society in a direction that you know, appearance becomes super important, and emergence of selfies and this culture of image and how you how people perceive you, not through the phone, right? Not through reality, but through the phone. And the other side, where guys are talking about Twitter, was text-based. So it was, both aspects were visual. So or you have to read it, or you have to look at it. And there is a history behind. There's a reason why this emerged as such. Because in a general public, the phone was above all a screen and a camera, right? Besides making phone calls, was a screen and a camera. So when the iPhone came out, and even before that, the BlackBerry, it was primarily a screen, a keyboard, and a camera. That's it. The audio outlet were small and very poor quality and pretty much non-existent in the beginning. So this created a platform for anything that requires a screen, a camera, and a keyboard. Text, hence text, images, and video. Things have evolved, and things have evolved in the technology side, where now you have a lot of people walk around with headphones, with the earbuds, with the smart speakers came up. So there are a lot of outlets for audio to be consumed that did not exist as recently as 3 or 4 years ago. So when we looked at the trend, we said, well, there is a space for a platform that focuses on audio. And there are technical reasons that I just explained. There are also maybe some philosophical or societal reasons that we wanted to go this way. Because one, an imagery, as I said, it pushes a certain behavior. When you are trying to display a video, you are trying to display a picture, it pushes to a certain behavior and excludes a big segment of society. It is not attracted by that. On the text side, even with the emergence of emojis, it doesn't translate emotions. And your voice translate emotions that very, very few other medium can do it. I mean, you don't need an emoji when you are talking. It's your voice is your emoji. People don't have to guess, are you happy, are you sad, are you sarcastic when you are typing this? Because your voice transmits all this. This one, we came up and said, well, we need to launch Riffr. So it took us 3 years, get the name, get the branding, get the technology behind it, and we launched it about 2 months ago. And when we first launched it, we're not targeting any specific market. It's a general public platform. We start, not surprisingly to us, we start seeing people, visually impaired people, signing up and using it. Very quickly, and Jerry might say it shows, we said, well, we need to adapt it so people who cannot see well, who are blind, can navigate it with using the whatever the platform on Apple, the web, or Android. So literally it was done in 2 weeks. So we very, very quickly we said, let's put a lot of resources on it and get it out maybe 2 weeks ago. So it needs improvement on this aspect, the navigation, the access navigation, I think Apple calls it, needs some improvement. It's rough a little bit around the edges. So we are working on it. Jerry has been extremely nice about helping helping us, you know, making easier, even easier to use and navigate, more importantly, than it is. The platform, I'm going to say a few things about the platform. The platform is audio-driven, but it's also open. What does it mean it's open? That means you do not have, when you publish, you can publish it on Riffr, but you can publish it on Twitter. You can publish it on your Facebook. So we allow, or you can send messages, I mean, like share it to messages. Like you have a group of people you want to share it with, just click share, and then let's say you have an Apple iMessage sharing group, or you have a WhatsApp sharing group, you can record it. It has some editing, or you can import. Like you could say you want to short it audio, that is, you can import it. It doesn't have to record it. And then, boom, share it and share it with everybody. It goes to, obviously, to Riffr, but also it is shared whether through a messaging application you might use or through Twitter, through Facebook, through LinkedIn, email. It's completely open. You can publish it on your web anywhere you want. And it's built in within the app. Once you create a riff, or you do it on the online or on the app, or you import an audio file that you'd like to share, like I believe Jerry is a fan of bird singing. So if he has a recording, he can put it online on his Riffr account. And then everybody that follows him can listen to it. The other aspect that is open is that if you put a riff that is public, not private, you can set up the riff to be private within people that follow you or public. If you put it public, it's accessible to everybody. You don't have to be registered to the app or to the platform. Anybody can listen to it. So in this sense, it's, you know, you can go into riffr.com or through the app. If Jerry had put his recordings public, I can search it to Jerry, and then I can see all his recording, play them one by one. So you don't have to be a member of the platform to be able to enjoy the content if the publisher of the content made it public. If it make it private, obviously you cannot see it. It's a new platform. I tell you, has been a challenge. You know, every time you launch a new product, it's challenging because you know we have done it many times, so we are very familiar with the music. It's a very noisy environment, but it's the feedback we've had. I mean, we started again 2-3 months. The feedback we have had been fantastic. So we have people that just post silly things, you know, hey, I'm walking down the streets of Boston, but we have people who, because of the voice, post a lot of personal things, and this for me was a big surprise. They post it, and it just, you know, maybe a little bit cathartic. You know, it's when you go to see the psychiatric, you just talk, right? So by talking, there's something about this, some power that comes with just saying something, and then saying something, and people listen to it. People are not judging you on what you are saying. They're not judging how you look, what you're, you know, they're judging you only on what you are saying. That for me has been extremely rewarding on a personal level. This platform can have 100 million users or 10 million users at that level, I don't care. I think we have provided something to society that kind of sets us apart, and it's open. We don't, you know, just say what you have to say. There is some, you know, obviously you cannot offend people, and we monitor that and we remove tweets. It happened very rarely, surprisingly. Currently, we're working with different media companies. In the visually impaired community, we want to spread the word. I think it's something that could be useful to the community. We don't want it to be a product for one, and want it to be open and create, hopefully, cross bridges between different communities that exist in our society, kind of living on their own islands. Through the power of voice, we can achieve that. That's great. I think we have an opportunity because you can record something. You don't have to have a super production. You can just sit here and record something and say something. You pay more attention to it usually than just taking a picture or typing a silly text. So you pay a little bit more attention, but it's not too demanding as to have barriers that are technically difficult to overcome, right? So it's you can produce something of certain quality, but it's you don't have overwhelming technical barrier that you will have to overcome. And also the other driver for us that we believe is critical is that technology is moving towards audio. In the last 2 years, the real, especially in the mobile computing, right? And I include the phone in the mobile computing. The real progress has not come from, you know, more resolution on the camera or better screen or longer battery life. You know, it has been stagnant on that front. What has come up is the earbuds from Apple that has been a phenomenal success. The other thing that has come up is the smart speaker. The most successful launch of any consumer product beats the iPhone. The number of smart speakers in homes today is more, the speed by which they get to where they are is faster than any other consumer product ever, including smartphones. So that's, for us, it's you have now a channel to distribute the audio content. That's big, potentially very significant for us.
How can we help you? What can we as a group do to make this?
The immediate help, which would be priceless, is download it, use it, and give us feedback. I would not be able to thank you enough for that. Give us feedback on ways we can improve it. That will be the immediate help. Any feedback you guys have on usability, and then maybe other features you would like to see, and then we can put them, you know, we can start working on that. Immediately, like any feedback on what it is today, and features we can fix the issues today, improve it today, and then start adding the features. One of the features we decided consciously not to launch it with is group messaging, because we felt that it may be overwhelming for the user to have to learn so many things. So we said, okay, we'll go only with the RIFs, with no messaging, and then we will add private group messaging at a later stage, all driven by audio, no text. So your help immediately will be download the app, go to the web, and beat the hell out of it. You can report, any audio, only RIF gets reported more than 3 or 4 times, a human being will look at it. So you can report it, like, hey, I don't like this, right. You can report, we'll get that. We'll have a human being continuously monitoring the content too, and we deleted it. So far, we haven't seen that. We deleted, I think, 2 RIFs total so far. We haven't seen, as I said, what has pleasantly surprised us is the emotional aspect of the content. People come up and really nastiness, not much. Well, artists, we have a lot of artists, mm-hmm. Going in and putting their music. We have it, the way it is categorized, right? So you can go in and post a riff as personal, you can post a riff as entertainment, as expertise, etc. And then so you can post it and you can navigate the app, what we call vertically, meaning chronologically. If you follow somebody, you can listen to their riffs. And if you can horizontally, meaning by subject. So if you follow people, only the people that you follow would come, what we call the vertical navigation.
Right.
And then if you want to explore, then you can go in, I want to go to entertainment, etc. So you follow people. It's not like anybody can publish it and push it onto you. Mm-hmm. Everybody can publish, put it on the platform. So only people that follow you, you see, listen. But if you want to explore, we can only allow you to explore. So we are monitoring the content. It's user monitored and the company monitors as well. So if you don't like something, you report it. And it's part of the terms and conditions. Yes?
It sounds also a little bit like a service called Audio Boo or Audio Boom that was around and may still be around. And I'm also curious, how long do the riffs stay live in the system?
For forever, until you delete them. A user can delete them, right? It's a user can. And so the user can delete whenever they want. But
because you said you can search by subject, do people put like some text in there so you could search by word?
Yes. So that you can, once you publish a riff, you can put a description and you can link it. So for example, let's say you have a podcast, right? And you want to put a little, what we call a little trailer of your podcast. You can put it there and you can include the link to your podcast. So if people want to listen to the full podcast, they click and they go to the podcast. Or you're promoting a website, whatever. You can, you put a description, we have tags, right. Hashtags as well. And or if you don't want to put anything, just don't put anything.
If you share, say if you have one and you're sharing it to Facebook, does it just bring up Facebook, or is it actually, go into Facebook and do all the correct things to post it to your...
It goes to your Facebook page.
Okay, and then you just post it at that point.
Yep, no, it's auto post.
It's going to do it, okay.
Auto post. And then people that follow you on Facebook, they see your riff, they click on it, they listen to it.
There is a limit to the length of a riff.
3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's 5 seconds to 3 minutes. 5 second minimum, 3 minutes max.
Is there a audio mixer involved?
I would not call it an audio mixer, but we have an editing tool, and then you can add special effects, you can add it's not a mixer per se, and you can cut paste, so it's a minimal, actually you can record and then publish, or if you want to go deeper, then you can, it's not part of the process, it's kind of, if you want to go in, there's an option, you go in and you can add it and boom. It's 2 or 3 things, pump it, tap it, and then listen to it, you like it, you send it out.
I was able to take a recording that I had made previously and put it on there. On a web-based program, I was not successful at creating a riff by speaking into my microphone.
You can record through the web as well. The phone, obviously, is much easier to record.
For us, the phone works a lot better at this point than the website does.
Well, it sounds like some people
want to do a very good editing job and not just talk in the microphone and let it be. So if you don't have enough editing tools, should we be using some other audio program on a desktop computer to do all the editing and then upload the file to your system?
Absolutely. You have your own software that you create your audio, and then once you create it, and we accept pretty much every audio format, and then you can push it up.
But you can also just put an off-the-cuff message. Oh man, I'm walking down the street, I feel great, the sun's out, and things like that, and people like hearing this.
Yeah.
So a riff is a short audio clip, right?
It's about up to 3 minutes.
So this is not a tool for creating a podcast or
no.
A longer audio thing?
Yeah, we would call it microcasts.
Kind of like an audio tweet.
Yeah, audio tweet. You know, you can have a kind of a trailer of your podcast, kind of what the important things, put it there, and then I listen to it, I like it. Because the problem with podcasts, I love podcasts, but there's an issue. You have to commit an hour. So this way you can listen to it, say, I like it, like a trailer for a movie. You know, I like it, okay, let me go now to the podcast. So for us, podcasts are like, it's a good thing. It's a positive thing.
When you have a public, everyone can see it. As far as private...
Private is only people that follow you can see it. Public is everybody. So there's nothing in between. The thing that will come in between is the once we have the messaging. So you can record something and you can also publish it and also share it with a small group of people. You can do this today, but it kind of takes you, let's say you have it on, you have a group on your WhatsApp or on your iMessage app. You can send it through that as well. So it's not within the app, but it's seamless, right? It's fairly seamless.
Can I set an expiration date to my message at the time I record it so I don't have to remember 3 months from now to go in and kill the message?
Not yet, but it's a good feature to have.
I'd like to see you add that.
Yeah, right now you have to manually go and delete it.
So, Tafiq, how do we contact you?
Jerry. He has all my contact information.
And what contact information actually in the app? Is it, like, you know, is there a help or an about that has your contact information? Or on the website, is there also contact information?
Yeah, there is contact us on the website as well. But please, to get my contact information, you can email me personally with all the feedbacks, and don't try to protect my feelings. Just hammer me.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.